Len Bestoff, investigative reporter with NBC 30.
One of those investigative reporters.
Just like you did. Did you know he was Brad Davis and John Sublome?
Yeah.
Investigative reporters on WFSB, Channel 3.
Yep.
Right. Absolutely. You started at Channel 3, right?
Sure did.
Yeah.
Sure did. Yep. Good folks over there.
Look at that. You got something in common here.
Yeah.
Nice. So the last time that you were here, we're talking with Len Bestoff. We were talking about, you know, cows or something that was corralled over in over by a Home Depot or something. But now we've got a serious issue with crumbling foundations for a good portion of our state. As people are renewing their insurance policies, they notice that an extra $12 per policy is going for this, I'm not even going to say dilemma. It's downright travesty.
Yeah, that would be a word that's fair to say. I mean, if you were somebody who bought a house 20 years ago, you know, you're paying your mortgage, you're paying your insurance, you think that everything's fine, and then suddenly, fast forward 10, 20 years later, and you've got these horizontal cracks in your basement, and you don't know what is going on, and then they say, well, you're going to have to replace it and lift your house and spend tens, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
I'll never forget. Never forget the 2 days that I was over there, and what a feeling it was to walk in to a couple of those houses and see the people. And I want to tell you something. They are courageous people to do what they're doing, but they're doing it.
But sadly, there's not enough money.
That's right.
We're talking about the $12 I just mentioned a moment ago per insurance policy annually.
Mm-hmm.
What did that equate to after 1 year? What did that come to?
It's going to raise, and that money has not, it's been
collected. It's not going to cover everything. It can't. But what did it come out to? Was it like,
It'll be about $10 million a year.
Yeah, $10 million.
And this Healthy Homes Fund, which won't be dispensed till July 1st of 2020, that's when they'll start. That's the policy. That's the legislative policy.
Yeah, they wait.
I think they're just taking a while to collect it. But it's going to start coming out on July 1st, 2020, as I understand it. And about $8 million will be going to the folks with concrete. And then about $2 million goes downstate to two other issues there. They're having sinking homes, I believe, in New Haven County.
Wow.
And I think there's some lead abatement in the Bridgeport area. That was part of the legislation that some of the money went down there. But in effect, this $8 million per year will cover the estimate that I've been hearing from the assistance program for people with crumbling basements is about 30 homes a year. The scope of this thing, there have been numbers all over the board. What's going to be really interesting later this month, they're going to be coming out with real data. This Connecticut Foundation Solution Indemnity Company, that's called the Captive Insurance Company, that is dispensing the claim money that the state has set aside, the $100 million that they're giving out in five increments of $20 million. They're about to, at the Bond Commission, issue another $20 million later this month that will be available in early October, presumably. And that'll then be $60 million. A lot of numbers here, people.
Len,
you're scratching your head. It's a lot.
And here's why I'm scratching my head, Len, is because do we know, or is there an average, maybe this is a better way to ask this question, is there an average amount of what this will cost per household, per home?
There is, Gary. It's
because
sort of
we can take
target.
That and multiply it by how many homes there are and come up with what is the target? What amount do we need to be at in order to fulfill the needs for all of those who have or have suffered through crumbling foundations? And if we're not anywhere near that, then where are we coming up with the balance of funds, and whose responsibility does it now fall upon? Insurance companies, and what's the statute of limitations? I there's so many different questions that I have, Len. I'm sure you can see the gears grinding in here.
Oh, yeah. So. Former legislator.
Exactly.
You're thinking of all the different combinations and permutations here, and certainly there are a lot of questions.
And all you have to do is just to look at the place
mm-hmm.
and look at the eyes
Oh, the families.
Of the folks that live there.
Mm-hmm. You're right, Brad.
I've never seen anything like it.
Well, it was heartbreaking.
I'll never forget it.
Every time you go to these neighborhoods, you know, you see folks that have had this happen. They had no idea it was coming. It's like a gut punch. Yesterday, I was talking privately with a veteran and his wife, live in Vernon. They were going to live in this house for another few years, fix it up, sell it, and downsize. Now they're saying, can't do that. We're going to see it through at this house now. I mean, they did get the aid from the state, and their house is coming along, and they will probably be back in it within a month or two or three. But it's a huge disruption in your life and really a change in your life plan.
All right, so let's go back to one of the first questions that I asked.
We're all over the place.
What is the average? You know, don't give me the high end or the low end. Mm-hmm. Give me the average amount of what would this cost per house?
Okay, if you're talking a single family home, lifting it up, right now, according to this assistance program, the data they've been collecting for the last 8 months, it has gone down.
Oh.
It was about $175,000, and they're saying now it's $144,000. The average cost. And again, that's just the basic lift the house, get all the bad concrete out, and put new concrete in and put the house back down. Then, you know, reattaching things, in many cases, it's on you, whether it's your deck, reinstalling sidewalks, driveways, putting your grass back.
Okay, now, how many homes?
Okay, good question. The estimates have been all over the board because, frankly, we just didn't know. But the latest numbers that I'm getting from the captive insurance company that they're going to be putting out in the next few weeks, they're saying in the Northeast for the next 10 years, you're looking probably 4,000 to 5,000. And when I say the Northeast, excuse me, that includes Massachusetts, which we're understanding maybe about 1,000 homes there. Structures. Let's say structures versus homes.
Yeah, but the Connecticut taxpayer, I mean, we're in insurance, you know, insured in Connecticut, we're not responsible for Massachusetts, or is this all being lumped into one aggregate?
No. We would only be responsible for the 4,000 structures in Connecticut. And that's short term, because the problem is that this allegedly defective concrete.
That's right.
This started to get installed in 83. And here's the problem, like you're saying, Brad, we were talking about just a minute ago. It was installed up till 2016. And in some cases, there's a time lag from when it's not like you just install the concrete and it starts cracking immediately. It may take 10 years. It could take 20 years till it shows up. So that's why the estimates are moving target, and everybody's really interested in this data that's coming out.
Well, so then the people who have this concrete in their home that in 2016, 15, 14, more recently, they must be on eggshells, knowing the inevitable fate of their house.
Yes and no. Again, that's why this is so frustrating and complicated. You can have pyrotite. That's the mineral that experts say causes this cracking. You can have that, and if it's of a lower concentration, very low, or if it's maybe on a part of the basement wall that doesn't interface with a lot of humidity or air, like that's what scientists are still trying to deduct in terms of what causes it to deteriorate quicker, or in some cases not at all. It's really hard, and
this company, though, is still around then. There was a rumor that they were no longer around, but if this concrete that this particular company poured as recently as 2016, then that would kind of indicate to me that they still have a presence in
the
state.
Well, not really. They're shuttered now. They have, you know, sold their operations terms of the processing. That part of the quarry, as I understand it, cannot be used for residential. And it may be able to be used for commercial, but that goes through a much bigger set of tests for standards.
Are we noticing that? When we first heard of this, it was concentrated primarily in Tallinn County, right? Mm-hmm. Are we learning more that it's seeping into Hartford County or Middlesex County? or is it strictly concentrated just, you know, in that area that originated from?
It essentially right now is in Hartford County, Tolland County, Windham County. It's in north central and northeastern Connecticut. We're not seeing it west of the river, predominantly, maybe a handful of homes. There have been some very strange cases where I believe the assistance program was telling us that they had one or two cases in Stratford, and I believe it was one of the limes down on the shoreline, because it's possible that the aggregate that makes concrete was taken from the quarry.
Here. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I'm going to do some math on something. Go ahead.
All good. The aggregate was apparently taken from the quarry and mixed down on the shoreline and then put in a home, because they can't figure out, well, how do we have a crumbling basement, you know, so far away from where the concrete's mixed, because it cures within 30 minutes.
Yeah. You know, when you think of when this happened and where we are now and what has gone through the minds and the souls of the owners of these homes, I mean, you just feel you don't have a word for it.
Yeah. No. I mean, I do want to be a glass half full, though. Okay.
Brad is too, by the way.
All right.
It's a good way to be.
Because there are, you know, a number of homes have been fixed by this assistance program. And I know a lot of folks come to me, and whether it's on social media or via phone or in person, and they're like, hey, you know, I'm getting whacked for $12 a year. This is a waste of taxpayer money. But, you know, if you're getting homes back on the tax rolls,
that's right,
if you're getting people, I mean, you can't believe how many people are out there working. Like, I talked to one of the contractors and I said, are you hiring extra people? He's like, yeah, I got a whole other crew. He's got a company that does the lifting of the homes, that they have one crew now that's just with him. And he's already, I think, done 30 homes this year just with his company alone.
All right, so you gave me some figures here, and mm-hmm. I just pulled out my phone and the calculator. So you said 144,000 homes, right?
No,
$1,000. Excuse me, $144,000 on an average. Mm-hmm. Some can be more, some can be a little less. In approximately 4,000 homes in Connecticut. We're not taking into consideration Massachusetts. So that number comes to 576 million. Mm-hmm. Dollars. So a little over a half a billion dollars. Okay,
yes.
So where is this money coming from? Because certainly that foundation, you said 10 million is coming from that foundation, right?
From the homeowners insurance surcharge.
But, right.
And that'll generate about 10 million per year. And then there's the 100 million that the state has already committed aside from that. 40 million of which it's already given the assistance program, and there's another 60 million. But yeah.
So we're still about 350 million.
I want to be more conservative. a lot of these homes in this 4,000, and again, we're going to get better data next week. That's going to give us a better idea of what we're talking about here. But a number of these are condos. The average price per condo comes down more around 70,000. So. But you're still talking hundreds of millions. But the bottom line is, you know, earlier on, guys, the estimates, they were giving estimates in the billions. And the problem is, what a lot of folks tell me, like, that are trying to get money from the feds and other sources, is that if you come with these numbers that just look astronomically high and aren't realistic, you know, we all know the art of the deal, so to speak, and you negotiate and you come from very high or very low, depending on what side of a negotiation you're on. That's not going to work here if you go and say, you know, this is going to cost billions of dollars. A legislator, a senator, is going to be like, we can't get our hands around this. What a lot of these people really on the inside are telling me is, let's give people the real data so they really know what they're working with. And that's some of the stuff we're hopefully going to be getting because this assistance program has an audit that they're going to put out along with an annual report that they say is going to show where the problem is, how much it's costing, how many homes they've been able to restore, what kind of an economic impact that's having. I mean, because think about it. You don't replace the homes. You don't fix the homes. You could crush the real estate market.
Yeah, you could.
But
exactly.
This is bringing it back, but it's very slow.
All right, so in case you're just joining us, we do have NBC Connecticut Chief Investigative Reporter Len Bestoff with us. Now, just to switch gears a little bit,
certainly,
because I want to make sure we get to at least one other story that you have breaking. Let's talk about the town of Manchester. What's going on over there? They have a budget, and they're coming in. There's no deficit? Is that what in their budget? Or?
They have really developed a system to slow the increase in their expenses. And
this is Manchester.
Manchester. Yeah. We did this story. It was literally the day after I got on, or a few days after, with you all about 2 months ago. And it was a great story we worked on for a while. You know that movie Moneyball where the Oakland, Billy Bean.
Yeah, Brad Pitt was in there.
Brad Pitt. Yeah, everybody knows Brad Pitt.
But Billy Bean. They were going about cybermetrics.
That's right.
That's how they were recruiting and scouting their next player.
Yeah, they use something called sabermetrics where they say, you know, it's not all home runs and runs batted in. I want a guy that gets a lot of walks who's going to get on base a lot, because it's all about on-base percentage.
Yeah.
That was one of the stats. But there's all kinds with crazy acronyms like XFIP and BABIP and WAR and all these things.
That's right.
I'm a fantasy baseball player.
Oh, okay. And I'm a huge baseball fan myself.
I know I'm giving you real.
You are. I'm like, yeah, you're right. He's hitting it right on the mark.
Yeah. And whip.
Yep, you're a whip.
Yeah.
Yep.
So they use that in baseball. And what Manchester did, they didn't say, let's do it like baseball. They came up with this on their own. There's a lot of urban governments that what they do is they drill down all the way to these kind of numbers, just like they have in baseball. Literally, they can tell you how long every site plan review on average takes time-wise in Manchester. And then they can extrapolate that out and say, okay, so that costs us X dollars per year. They can extrapolate, you know, what it costs the town from the time that they make the arrest till the adjudication of the case, what the cost is, you know, in terms of dollar amounts. So let's say a department head were to come to the town director and say, hey, we want to do program X, and he's going to say, well, let me go look at the data. And let's say they want to add an employee, and he's going to say, look, I'm looking at your data. You don't need to add one, or maybe you need to add half, a part-time. They can drill down that deeply. They've been collecting this data
decades. So they've been collecting it, and now they're implementing it.
They've been implementing
it. Oh, they have been implementing
it. It just gets more and more robust. You know, the more data you have, you know, the more you can compare.
Okay, so what are the fruits of this then?
Lower increase.
Yeah,
is what they're telling us. They said, you know, they'd
love
to. That's
what Manchester is now.
Wow. You know, they'd love to say, okay, it cut taxes, but you know, the reality in life is that death and taxes, and it's hard to get taxes to go down. You don't get something for nothing. But by the same stroke, you know, they are keeping that increase, they say, from going up as much as it
can. So there is an increase. It's just a minimal increase.
They're stemming it, is what they're saying.
Mm-hmm. Very.
Call it stemming. Now.
Yeah. So are there other towns that are looking at Manchester as a model and using their blueprint for their own municipality? Or?
I checked with CCM on this, and they said that the Connecticut Conference of Municipalities, and it said that no, there aren't many. Boston is a city that does this quite a bit. In fact, Manchester has one of their people came from Boston, and that was one of the things he was helping with there, where they can like tell you how much it costs to make a photocopy when you get a clerk to. Yeah, I mean,
can you imagine?
But you know,
but here's the.
This is fabulous.
But Brad, the surprising part is that, and they, according to Len, they've been doing this for a while, collecting this data. Mm-hmm. There's no other towns using Manchester as a model, and adapting that formula for themselves.
Probably are, but they're not advertising it, and certainly there aren't many of them. You know, you would think it would be something where the data's there.
Yeah,
you know, it does require an investment up front, but there was an ad back when I was a little kid that you pay now or you pay later. And so,
yeah, of course,
you know, invest the money, look at the data, see where your expenses are going. Isn't that just prudent fiscal management?
Of course.
To know where every dollar and cent's going.
Manchester just has a certain something that you can tell. They know what's going on. And
you're not
going
to pull the wool over there.
No, I guess not.
Not at all.
God bless him. I think that's good.
So as we run out of time, we're getting, we only got about 3 minutes left. Mm-hmm. What are you working on? Give us a teaser of of some of the...
Ooh.
I know.
Yeah, yeah. Let's see. I can tell you that more stuff's coming on Whiting. We've been doing a lot of stories about the state psychiatric hospital down in Middletown.
Wow. Can you give us a little tidbit on that?
People are still talking to us.
Okay.
And we had a very interesting conversation with one person.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So then when do you think you'll conclude your investigation where you can now... Or is this perpetual?
I wish it would conclude for both us and for all the folks down there.
Yeah.
I mean, they're nice people and all, but, you know, when it comes to making sure that things are being done right, that takes a while.
Yeah,
sure does.
Also, you've been covering that for a while now.
4 years.
Yeah.
We started with, you know, payroll issues, and then about 2 years ago, some of those folks who we talked with started saying, hey, there's abuse of a patient here. You really need to jump on this.
Okay. Yeah.
And you did.
Yeah, they've had now 10 court cases all adjudicated.
Years.
Many of them went to prison or jail.
Yeah, it's great. That must be a feeling
like
of...
investigative reporting.
No, but that must make you feel really great, you know, that you have something to do with this.
Well, you know, it's hard. It's hard when you go to these sentencings and you see people going away, you know, sometimes from family. But then, you know, other people come to me and say, hey, man, you know, don't let it all get to you because these folks allegedly did something wrong, or they did do something
That's right.
wrong. That's what was proven. And so it's hard, but, you know, and I think that sometimes a lot of these folks get into these jobs for one reason and then something just happens.
But it's justice. And at the end of the day, that's what people want.
Mm-hmm.
They want to make sure that justice is served.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, just that reforms happen in this system there because a lot of people are frustrated. I mean, we broke a story the other day about a patient dying at Connecticut Valley Hospital. The state agency still to this day will not confirm it. They say it involves a patient at a hospital and we can't tell you anything.
Yeah.
So, HIPAA laws and
confidentiality.
I mean, that kind of confidentiality.
Yeah.
But it's like, I'm not saying I want name, rank, and serial number of the patient.
Right.
But you should be able to say, yes, we had a patient die at our facility because our sources are telling us there were some questionable circumstances that need to be investigated as to why this patient died. But we can't even get anything on that. It's just this black hole.
It's more digging.
Man.
All right. Len Bestoff.